I assumed that this year was supposed to be on the topic of Inyana Diyama, but I wasn't sure what the Inyana Diyama was. So I was asking around today, so they told me snow. People told me it's snowing, so I should give a shiur on snow. Rav Zevin has a very fascinating sefer that's called the Or HaHalacha, and he writes an essay about snow in Halacha, and basically he quotes all the sources plus more, and someone showed me recently a whole sefer, a collection of answers that were given by Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I think the title is Hashemeg, I forgot. So also a whole sefer about snow, but he doesn't have anything more than what Rav Zevin says. So I thought it was an interesting presentation. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Hey tells a story that during, it doesn't say it was during the month of Tevis, it says during Tkufas Tevis, the season of the winter, that Hillel didn't have the 5 cents to pay to attend the yeshiva. He used to charge a fee to get into the Beis Medrash. He couldn't afford it, so he was the Beis Medrash had a window on top, so he was listening in without paying. He was listening in from the window, and then it started to snow with Tkufas Tevis, and he fell asleep on top, and then it was dark in the Beis Medrash, and they realized there was a form of a person in, and they realized that he was up there on top of the roof. So the Gemara tells the story. This was in Eretz Yisrael. So apparently it does snow once in a Yovel, it snows in Eretz Yisrael. And Hillel got snowed on the Tkufas Tevis. It doesn't say it was the month of Tevis, it was the Tkufas Tevis. Snow appears in Halacha in connection with Neged Tzaras. We have Ovis and Toldus. You have in the first daf in Baba Kama, you have Ovis and Toldus in Ezekin, Ovis and Toldus in Shabbos, and Ovis and Toldus in Tuma. So by Shabbos and by Nezikin, the Ovis and Toldus means categories. These are the headings of categories. And told the same Kayetzimem, because the Toldus has the same properties as the Ovis. By Tuma, the whole idea of Toldus, the Nachlas David points out on the first daf in Baba Kama, by Tuma, when the Tuma is transmitted, so it always goes down a Madregas. It has to be told the same, Lav Kayetzimem, because it's being transmitted. So the Toldus are those things that were Mekabel Tuma from the Ovis, and the Sheni was Mekabel Tuma from the Rishon, goes to the Shlishi, to the Revi, to the Chamishi, different Madregas. Here by Negat Saras, you have on the first sugya in Masech HaShvuas, based on Mishnayis in Negoim, you have Maris Negoim, you have Ovis and Toldus. The Toldus are neither, they're four different shades of white. The Toldus are not really subcategories of the Ovis. They're not subcategories. And it's not the other kind of a tolda, it's not mistai from it. It's just like the opening Rashi writes in Bava Kama, Ovis kor lahanach tichsiv in behed yibikro, shor bor amave hever explicit in chumash. That's why they called Ovis. That's what the Vilna Goyen's commentary on Pirkei Ovis is, that people usually assume that the reason why it's called Pirkei Ovis is it's the ethics of our fathers, that these ideas were developed by the Tanoim. So the Vilna Goyen says that it's not true. The reason why it's called Ovis is because Ovis Karl Ha'achtachsivim Behed Yibikro. That every Mishnah in Pirkei Ovis says Beferish and Tanach. Everything, and the whole Bir Agro on Ovis, he just gives you the Marmar Kaimis in Mishlei, in Koheles, in Tilim, in Chumash sometimes. He gives you all the Marmar Kaimis. But the first premise is that the reason why it's called Ovis is not the ethics of the Father, it's not from the Tanoim. Everything is based on Tanach. So that's apparently what the Pasuk says, has it say. You have la seis v'la sapachas v'la baheris. So the Gemara understands that seis and baheris are two different colors of white. Seis is the higher, is a brighter white. And the word sapachas, so those are explicit. Seis and baheris are explicit. Ovis kar laharach t'chsiv behed yibikro. And the word sapachas means like svacheni noah, the pasuk that the Rav just quoted before me, his tapeach menachlas Hashem, means tzuget shepet, something that's a tolda. So the word sapachas means that seis has a tolda and baheris has a tolda. But so the Mishnah says that the color of seis is ketzem alovan. That's the brightest white is ketzem alovan, ketzem anoki. You have in Tanakh, in Daniel, he has a vision of the Rabban Shel Olam as an old man. He was there before Bria Olam. And that's how they have all the debates that they used to have between the Rebbe Rav Yonis and Eibeshitz and the local Galach. So on one occasion, the Galach had three tainis against the Jewish religion. I already forgot the whole story. So part of the story was, how come in church they pray in a nice fashion. They pray softly. And the shul, the Jews are always screaming. That was one of the times that, how come the Jews are always screaming? That's what it used to be. So the answer that Rabbi Anderson Eibshitz gave was, your God is a young bacher. He's a young guy, so his hearing still works well. Our God is 5,000 years old, so we have to scream louder. And then he had a taina, so I forgot the second taina. Then the third taina was, how come at a goyish funeral, it's very bekavadik, and a Jewish funeral, they're screaming and everything. So Rabbi Anderson Eibshitz said, on that I give in to you. I'd rather attend 1,000 goyish funerals than attend one Jewish funeral. He doesn't enjoy Jewish funerals. So the pasuk describes Daniel, describes his vision of the Baruch Shalom as an old man, and has his hair, the Baruch Shalom's hair, sire amar noka, like white wool, and levushi kitlag chiver, and the malbush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like white snow, kitlag chiver. So in the Sefer Hasidim he says al pi Kabbalah that the vision that he saw was that Baruch Shalom was wearing a talus. And the talus that he was wearing was white. And in the days of the Rishonim, many people they davened every day, but they didn't wear tefillin every day. That's what the smug went around traveling around. Because the Gemara says, in order to be allowed to wear tefillin, you have to have a guf noki, you have to be careful. So the Torah, they said that they feel they don't have a guf noki. So they didn't wear tefillin. So the smug writes in the Hagadamah to the Sefer that he went traveling around all over Germany, encouraging the people they should wear tefillin every day. And then a lot of people only wore talus on Shabbos. They wouldn't wear talus in the middle of the week. They're busy. They had to run to work, so they didn't have time to put on a talus. I go over the talus, so you're done without a talus. You're not mechuyev. Tzitzis is a chayvas beged. If you wear a beged that has four corners, then you're mechuyev to put on tzitzis. If you don't put on a beged, you're not mechuyev in tzitzis. So they're not really doing anything wrong. So the Sefer Hasidim complains about those who don't daven every day with a talus, that they're mevaza, the malbush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because when Daniel had the image of the Ribbono Shel Olam as if he was an old man with a long white hair, so he was wearing levushi ketlag chiver, he was wearing the white talus. That's why in Shulchan Aruch it says, the Ramo says, the meaning is that you have a white talus, so they give two reasons. One reason alpi nigla, and one reason alpi nista. So the reason alpi Kabbalah, the Mishnah Berurah quotes is this Sefer Hasidim, that the malbush that the Ribbono Shel Olam was wearing in the vision in Daniel was white as snow. So that's why we should wear a white talus. And the reason Alpi Nigla is that the halacha says that whatever material the beged is made of, if you have chutim of tzem or pishtim, that part isn't any beged. But if you have chutim from another material, the string is made from another material. Like silk chutim is only acceptable if the beged is silk. Because the Gemara learns out from a pasuk, tzitzis hakonof, min hakonof. So the Rambam's opinion is that not only is there a din tzitzis hakonof, min hakonof, as far as the material, that silk chutim are only acceptable, cotton chutim are only acceptable on a cotton beged, and silk chutim are only acceptable on a silk beged, but it applies to the color of the chutim as well. If the beged is orange, then the chutim should be orange, except for the tchelis. If the beged is green, so the chutim should be green. If the beged is red, so the chutim should be red. Other Rishonim disagree. That tzitzis hakanef midkanef only applies to the material, but it doesn't apply to the talus. And in order not to get involved in the machloikis, so the Rama says, wear a white talus. You should wear a white talus so you won't be involved. There won't be a shaila what color the chutim should be. The chutim should be white. The Mishnah Berurah just says the only exception to the rules that we have a black stripe or a blue stripe, that's zechel tchelis. Those people who wear tchelis don't need a black stripe. They have the tchelis. They have the tchelis itself. And if it's not kosher tchelis, if it's imitation, so that's the zechel tchelis. They don't need a black stripe to have a zechel tchelis. But the black stripe is supposed to be zechel tchelis. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Levush. So the color of snow is relevant in Hilchas Negat Zaras. That's the ace. Seis v'labaheres, so the highest color, white, is the seis. And the color of snow is relevant for the color of the beged that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was wearing in the vision in Daniel, and that's negeh to us, negeh to the color of the tzitzis, the talus. There are four categories of things that are mekabel tumah in the whole wide world. Odom v'kelem ochlem v'mashkim. So snow is not odom, it's not kelem, that's for sure. And the Gemara needed Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph quotes a brisa. It says Tanan, but it's not really a Mishnah, it's a brisa. So it says that the snow is eino lo ke oichel v'lo ke mashke. If you plan to drink it, then it has a din of mashke. and then you say shakal, okay? So yes, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, what bracha does a person say if he eats? No. And what's the shalos? Of course, he answers. He says shakal. What are you going to say? Bar minim says. I don't understand what the havamina was. He says shakal, okay? But if loy chishev olav, so then the brisa says ein din loy kach loy kemashka. So that's where Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that snow is mukta on Shabbos. Not because the snow fell on Shabbos, even if the snow fell on the weekday. If you have a pile of snow, since the din is, the Gemara says, called the Tikkun Rabbanan came there, I said Tikkun. All the dinim derabbanan were instituted pattern of the dinim deraisa, because all the dinim derabbanan, that's what many assume, the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah, sounds like he says that in Hagdomet Tizroim. It sounds like he says that all the dinim derabbanan become a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh on the level of deraisa. And when a person learns dinim derabbanan, the Chavis HaGabra to observe dinim derabbanan is only derabbanan. But when a person learns the dinim derabbanan, he's in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah on the level of deraisa. So in order that all the dinim derabbanan should lend in to become a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh min haTorah, so they patterned all the dinim derabbanan after dinim deraisa based on the categories deraisa. Called the tikkun rabbanan came deraisa tikkun. So the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos, in the first daf in Kol HaKelim, that the laws of Mukta were patterned after the laws of Kabbalah's Tumah, that there are four categories of things that are Mekabal Tumah, Adam, Mekelim, Ochel, Mamashkim. So Adam is Mekabal Tumah only a Yisrael, a Nochri is not Mekabal Tumah. But nonetheless, any human being is not considered Mukta, even a Nochri who's not Mekabal Tumah. Kelim, there are certain Kelim that are not Mekabal Tumah, Klei Glolim, Klei Avonim, Klei Adamah, but the Chum said all Kelim are not considered mukta, even a kli that's not mekabel tuma. That's a quirk that a nochri is not mekabel tuma. That's a detail that there are certain kelim that are not mekabel tuma. That's a detail. But basically, all the mekelim are mekabel tuma, so all the mekelim are not considered mukta. And ochel mamashkim also the mekabel tuma, so they're not considered mukta. Strictly speaking, only ochel mamashkim that are roil lemaichal adam, maichal behema, is not mekabel tuma. It's not considered ochel mamashkim. But for mukta purposes, even Michael Behem is not considered Mukta. It was patterned after the Dinam Deraisa, but not 100%. That's what the first daf in Kol HaKelim, the first Talmud Aleph, is discussing the details, to what extent. It's not 100% patterned after Dinei Kabbalah's Tumah, but it's patterned after Kein Deraisa Tikkun. So Rav Moshe says over here that since the Braisa Maseches Nida says that snow is neither, is not Adam, it's not Kelim, and the Gemara, the Braisa says it's not Oichel, it's not Mashke. So it doesn't belong to any one of the four categories of things that are mekabel tumah. So then it's considered a piece of junk. It's a piece of junk. It's mukta machmas gufa, mukta machmas atzma, the highest form of mukta. That's like eitz ma'avana v'yofar. It's mukta machmas gufa. You don't even have a heter to be miltalpulit l'tzorach gufa l'tzorach mekoyma. That was Rav Moshe's opinion. Most of the rabbanim did not accept his opinion in Eretz Yisrael in America. Most rabbanim say it's not so, simply for the following reason. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a machloikis in Hilchas Mukta. I think it's the last sif in that simon about Mukta. I think it's simon Shin Aleph, a long simon about Mukta. So the last sif, there's a machloikis, the Mechaber and the Ramah, reflects the machloikis of Shon. What about a ball that people play with? So the Mechaber says, since in Hilchas Tumah, it's not considered a kli, it's not Mekabel Tumah, so therefore, a ball is considered mukta. And the Ramah disagrees, and he says, no, even though it's not considered a kli in Hilchas Tumah, but since it has a hishtamshus v'haraida, people, children play ball, or adults play ball also, so dovish yesh bo hishtamshus, it can't be considered mukta. It doesn't have to be 100% pattern after Hilchas Kabbalah's Tumah. You have the same machloikis when you get to, let's say, a lulav hadasim and arovis on Shabbos, Yantav Shal Sukkah Shacholias, the Shabbos of Zekir Derabon, and we don't bench Esrit, we don't shake the Dalmina. But let's say Yantav, there is a din of Mukta. So how do you handle the Lulav? The Esrig is pre, it's edible, it's Michael Adam. What about the Lulav, the Hadassim and the Arabis? Taisus writes on the first daf in Lulav Arabim, Masechas Sukkah, that the Lulav, Hadassim and Arabis is basically a Mukta, and when we shake it on Yantav, the Chachamim allowed us to violate the din of Mukta, despite the fact that it's really Mukta, we're mazminit mebol yom, whatever, it should have been Mukta, and we're mazminit mebol yom. So the Chazon Ish writes, he doesn't think we accept that thesis. He says, that makes sense according to the Mechaber. The Mechaber said that a ball is Mukta, whatever in Hilchas Tumah is not considered doesn't belong into any one of the four categories, other Mikhail, Machlam, and Mashkim, so that would be considered Muktzah. But he says, we don't follow the Mechaber, we Paskin Ashkenaz, and Paskin like the Ramah, that the ball, since it's Miyuchad for Hishtam Shuz, so it's considered a Kli, even though it's not 100% pattern after Hilchas Kabbalah's Tumah. It's not Mechaber Tumah. So he says, the Lulav Hadasma Nairovis is Taken, not Mechaber Tumah. It's not a Kli, but since it has a Hishtamshus, namely people use it, limitzvasai, so going to the way the Ramos says that a ball is not Muktzah, so the Lulav Hadasman Ravas would not be Muktzah either. It's not that it's Muktzah, but you have a head to tilt it because you are Mazmin it Mubod Yom. Like Moyel has the meaning is based on the Zohar, Mimono Afar Yaakov, the Pasuk in the Vuas Bolok, in the Vuas Bilam, the Parshas Bolok. So the Zohar says in that Pasuk, Mimono Afar Yaakov, who can count all of the brisim that the Jewish people make, that the meaning is that you matmin the or ha-orla be-offer. So in Shulchan Aruch, both in Hilchas Shabbos and in Yerideya, in Hilchas Mila, they quote from the Tshuvas HaGoyim, what do you do if you have a bris Mila on Shabbos and Yom Tov? How can you be matmin the or ha-orla be-offer? The offer is muktzah. So the Goyim say, you're mazmin it in Mabod Yom. Your mazmin it in Mabod Yom is still going to be muktzah, but that's a special din. Sometimes you mazmin something Mabod Yom, so you make it ois muktzah. Let's say, I take a big stone, I have a wooden bucket that I use to draw water from a well, but the wooden bucket is always going to float on top of the water, so how am I going to get it to go if I throw it at a distance, how am I going to get it to sink? So I take a big stone, a slab of stone or something, and I tie it on to the bottom of the bucket. So there's a Mishnah Masechah Shabbos, there are a lot of Mishnahs in Masechah Shabbos, there are 24 prokem. So there's a Mishnah Masech Shabbos that says, Ha'evin should be kirvio. If you have a stone tied onto the bottom of the bucket to make it, to weigh it down, so it'll go under the surface of the water, so the stone blends into the part of the bucket, so the stone is no longer muktzah. Let's say penny loafers. A person has a coin, and the coin is muktzah machmas gufo. A coin is considered a piece of junk because it doesn't have ishtamshes begufo. It's worth a lot of money, but it doesn't have ishtamshes begufo. So if you put the coin in your loafers, it blends in to be part of the shoe. So there, if you're mazmin it mibod yom, if you're mazmin the muktzah mibod yom, so it becomes ois muktzah, it becomes part of a kli. And then there's a Ramban, there's another kind, let's say the moyel wants to be mazmin offer mibod yom in order to be matmin the or ha'orlo. Or the frume yidin who want to throw stones on the... Chalei Shabbos, so the stones are muktzah, so the mazmin the stones bebod yom, so it remains muktzah, the stones remain muktzah, but they have a hechter hishtamshus for that purpose or for whatever is equally important or more important than that hishtamshus. The stones remain muktzah. Or let's say logs, the Gemara has it. Logs are eitzim avon of yofa, logs are literally muktzah. So even at yontif, when you're allowed to make a fire, if you mazmin the logs bebod yom, they remain muktzah. But you have a heta to be metaltal muktzah for that purpose, in order to keep the house warm, or to cook food, or to keep the house warm. For that ishtamshus, or for more important ishtamshus, but it remains muktzah. To use it for a less important ishtamshus, it'll be muktzah, it'll be considered muktzah. So the over here, the Shitas HaTosis is that the lulav, the hadasim and arovis, that's how they read the Gemara, the first daf in the lulav arovah. The lulav hadasim and arovis are considered mamish eitz ma'avon v'yofa. It's muktzah mamish, but you mazmin it mibon yom, so it remains muktzah. But you have a heta tiltel for that purpose. And the Chazanish thinks that it shouldn't be muktzah at all. It should be like the ball that we paskin like the Ramah, that since it has a hishtamshus, even though it doesn't correspond to keli and hilchas kabbalas tumah, but it's not considered muktzah at all. So it's usually assumed, most assumed, not like Ramosha Feinstein. That since the snow, true, the snow is not ochel or mashke, it's not odem kelim, but people do make snowballs, and people, it does have ishtamshes, people build a snowman with it. It's not considered a piece of junk, so that's why it's usually assumed that it's not muktzah. People make a mistake, some svarim they have this printed, that the snow that comes down on Shabbos is muktzah because it's noilat gomer, and it's a beferish tesvus on the first daf in Beitzel. Yeah. It's a beferish taisus. Taisus quotes a habamina from the Gemara in Erevin. That's not the maskana. There are svarim where they quote this. The taisus in the first daf in Beitza says that the snow that fell down, the rain of the snow that fell down on Shabbos, is muktzah. Beferish not so. The Gemara asks akasha ela meyata. If you say maya beiva mibla bliya, if you consider the water when it's in the clouds it's in a state of gas or whatever. It's not in the same form that it is when the rain lands or when the snow lands on the earth. So if you consider it as if it's Kamisha Eino, when it's up in the clouds, and then all of a sudden it pops up later, if that should be, if Halacha considers that, so then in Marfak Takashi, if so, it should be Noilad Gomer. So the answer is, we ignore the fact that Maya Biva Miblibli, we don't consider that. Gemara said the Ferish that it's not considered Muktzah, the fact that it fell down on Shabbos and Yontif. There is a big discussion in recent Svarim, this you won't find in earlier generations, is it permissible to make snowballs on Shabbos? Is it permissible to make a snowman on Shabbos? What's the Shaila? To make a snowball is a Shaila from Bona. What is Bona? The Rambam says, if you take, the Gemara says, Megabein is a Tolda Bona. If you leave milk out, so the curds of milk will separate from the whey, and then when you take the curds of milk and you push them together, the tiny particles, you push them together, so that's considered a tolda, a bona min haTorah. That's a tolda bona min haTorah. So some want to say that making a snowball is like megabe, it's a tolda bona. Others say that it's so aroi, daroi, that it's legamre eno shel kayama. We have bona and we have ohel. So bona is the malacha deraisa if it's binyan kavua. And oil is a term that the chachamim use to talk about oil aroi. So if you do a malacha aroi, the worst it can be is only the rabbana. There won't be any sederaisa. It's only the lamatas of malachas are only considered a malacha if you do it kolosa zaklal kolosa malacha b'shabbos and malach miskayem is b'shabbos. If it's not shal kayama, the worst it can be is the rabbana. If it's aroi daroi, then Rav Moshe says then it's heter gomer. Rav Moshe has the klal in his sefer. He has the klal based on kesher. If you make a kesher shal kayam, it's a malacha deraisa. In different klalim in the Mishnah, if a kesher sheinu shal kayam is derabana. If it's legamrei aroi, it's a bow, and you're going to untie it and say within the same day it's aroi daroi. So then it's mutar even derabana. So Rav Moshe extrapolates from that din of kosher that it applies to all the malachas as well. Some of the lesser luminaries of the generation disagreed with Rav Moshe. But the Pashtus is that Rav Moshe had a very strong swara that by all the malachas, whenever you do aroi daroi, so it's not a malach at all. So that's what many say, to make a snowball. When you throw the snowball, it already falls apart. You throw it in someone. The whole idea of a snowball is you throw it in someone already. The whole thing starts falling apart already. The shot is to make a snowman. Snowman is not going to fall apart right away, but it's going to melt in the sun. So how long is it going to last, the whole snow? After it's already melting, the whole snow is already melting. So many say that the snowball for sure is a heter gomer, and to make a snowman is also room to argue the point that it's also aroi daroi, probably also mutter. It shouldn't pose a problem. There is a discussion, is it, the Gemara has a tosefta, the Gemara Masech HaShabbos quotes a tosefta, you're not allowed to take ice or snow in your hands and squeeze it and cause it to melt. Emir asking the Sashel, give us a borrow. Doesn't seem to be an Issa deraisa, some kind of an Issa derabanan or another. What exactly is the Issa derabanan? So that's a machloike. So the Rambam says that it looks like schita. Just like if you take grapes and you squeeze them, so that's some kind of a malocha, disha. So here it looks like a schita. That's how the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. Shulchan Aruch quotes, like the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch quotes this bit about squeezing out the snow and the ice in the siman about schita. And then the Gemara says there that it's only also to squeeze it, emir askin biyodayim. But if I take, let's say, an ice cube and I put it into a cup of soda and it's going to melt away, or I put it into a cup of hot tea and it's going to melt away even faster, so then it says that it's permissible. Why? Because it's only schita, it only looks like schita if I do it biyadayim. But if I put it into a cup, and the fact that it's going to dissolve into the water there, that doesn't look like schita. Rashi has a different pshat. Rashi doesn't learn at all like the Rambam that has to do with schita. Rashi says that it's molid. So exactly what does that mean? So here there are two versions of what Rashi meant. So it's usually assumed, many to do from versions in the Rishonim as to what Rashi meant. So many say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world, he did creative activity. So we break it down into Lamentas Havas Malacha Zecha Lamaisa Bereshis, we're not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos. So Chorush HaZareh HaKoytzu HaDosh HaMamer. But the upshot of everything is that he did creative activity. So if you're going to take a solid and convert it into a liquid, you're putting Panim Chadoshes Bolakan, you're making a new tzura on the stuff that before it was a solid, now you're making it into a liquid. It's a molid, even though it doesn't fit into any one of the categories, Lamates Ovis Malachas, but since you're changing the form of the item, so that's molid, so that's Nocha Malacha. Molid is another Malacha. It's like Atzar HaShava of all of the 38 Malachas. Choytzoz and Malacha Gruhi, you're not creating anything new, but the Atzar HaShava, the upshot of all the 38 Malachas is that you're creating something new, so anytime you do a Molid, it's also Malacha Medirabot. That's the simple pshat in Rashi. That Rashi said Molid. Other Rishonim say that Rashi meant Noilad. Noilad is a form of Mukta that the Tosfos on the first daf in Beitza spoke about. And Gemara Shabbos speaks about Noilad Goma, Noilad Sheina Goma, two different kinds of Noilad. So others think that what Rashi meant to say was, you're not allowed to squeeze it out because it's got to be Mukta. What's the whole purpose of squeezing the snow in order to have it melt? Because you want to drink it or something, you want to use it. But since you change the shape, you change the form, so it's going to be Noilad and it's going to be a form of Mukta. So the two different versions. If that's what Rashi meant, he should have said Noilad. Rashi doesn't say Noilad, he says Moilid. So the Rishonim say that's what he meant. So there's a whole discussion.
You change form for Ochel, let's say, why is that any worse? If you have a form, if you take food that has no form and you put it in something that has form. So
that's what Ramosha and others have chubas. What about to make ice cubes? What if I'll take water, put it in the refrigerator and make ice cubes? So according to the Rambam, the whole prohibition, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, it's because it looks like schita, so there shouldn't be any problem. Hashav is according to Rashi. The Rashi says that it's molid or nolad, either because you're changing the form or because it's in a new form, so it's muktzah. So here also, why should it make a difference whether you took a solid, you changed it to become a liquid, it took a liquid, you made it into a solid. So Moshe Feinstein says, look, but we can't ask for making ice cubes because in Europe the Jews always did it. What do you mean the Jews always did? They didn't have any freezers, they didn't have any refrigerators. So he said they used to put the pechah in a cold part of the cellar, in the basement, and the liquidy pechah used to become faglibit, used to become like a gel. So they always took a liquid and they made it into a solid. So that was the minig lahakel, whatever the explanation is. And so either the explanation is we don't follow Rashi, we follow the Rambam, or the explanation is that the Gemara said, whatever the prohibition is, but the Gemara said it's only us if you do it biyad. If you take the ice or the snow or the ice cube and you throw it into a cup of water, even at hot water, and that causes it to melt. So since it's not oimid bifnei atzma, so that's muta. So here also, I put it into the refrigerator and I don't do it biyadayim. Whatever the hasbir is, that's where Moshe thinks that it's permissible. I don't know if that's considered be a daim either. That could be like taking the ice cube and putting it into a hot cup of tea. I take the margarine and I put it on the potato. So because it's on the potato, it melts. I didn't do it be a daim. So for whatever reason, the Gemara seems to say that that's muta. Gemara seems to say that it's muta.
Same with that. Has to apply also to ice cubes, which are automatically in the freezer compartment of the refrigerator.
Same for what?
The ice makers. Most of the refrigerators have an ice maker component.
Okay, what is it my refrigerator doesn't have? What is it?
It cycles on and off to produce ice cubes on 24 hours a day pretty much.
I mean, even if you don't put water in?
Correct, yeah.
So what's the issue?
Is it an issue of turning it off?
Do you have to turn it off?
I don't know if you can turn it off.
You can turn it off. You can
turn it off.
Yes.
So many hold that it's permissible. Many hold it's permissible even to put in water to make ice cubes out. They don't think that it's an issa. That's what Moshe thinks. There's no issa. So the Shabbos, let's say there's a lot of snow. It snowed on Shabbos, it snowed before, whatever, and you're afraid that people are going to slip and you'll be held liable. They're going to slip on your sidewalk. Not going to be held liable. You don't want the people to fall on Shabbos. So is it permissible to throw salt in order to cause the snow or the ice to melt? So the pashtus is that to cause snow to melt, shelo biyadayim, is permissible. So that's why many poskim say la'alacha. It's permissible to throw the salt on the snow or the ice in order to cause it to melt. Same thing, let's say, to shovel the snow on Shabbos. That's an issa. There's an issa. You're not allowed to do tircha on Shabbos. But if you're afraid someone's going to slip, it's going to be very difficult for the people to walk there. So then it's a tircha letzorach. So then you're permitted to shovel the snow. We don't assume that the snow is moved.
The yadayim is not sort of put it to make a snowman or a snowball at the yadayim, and you melt it when you touch it. As soon as you pick up the snow, you can have put it on your hands and your gloves. If you take the solid snow, they can look at it in milliseconds. So it's not had there, he says 5 minutes does it have to make a snowman.
Yeah, but he's not really interested in doing that. It's a secret that that's going to happen, but he's not really interested. He's interested in making the snowman or the snowball. But mela that happens. Like you're not allowed to squeeze out juice from a grapefruit. Whatever you're going to cut the grapefruit in order to make it easier to eat it, so you're always going to be squeezing out a little juice, but he's not really interested. That's a secret that it's going to happen. So we don't prohibit that. You're allowed to cut a grapefruit, even a little juice is going to squeeze it. They never asked that. There is a mitzvah in the Chumash that whenever a person shechts chaya v'yof, he has to perform kisui hadam. The pasuk says, v'chisohu be'ofar. What exactly is ofar? So Taisus has, in a few mesichtas, Taisus has a whole razzle-dazzle shtickle Torah. It's of course in Chulin, Perkis Yadam, and in a few other mesichtas. Taisus runs through all the marmakaymas, and they say there are two din. Either whatever is referred to in Tanakh is ofar, afrois zohov. There's a pasuk in Tanakh, afrois zohov. So if you have granulated gold, someone chopped up gold into tiny little particles, gold dust, so you're permitted to use it. If the Meshuggah wants to do a Hida mitzvah, he's allowed to use gold dust in order to do Kisei Adam. Or the Gemara says, even if you have something that's not called offer in Tanakh, but zorim boyam atzmich, something that if you would plant in it, it would grow, so that's also considered offer. So here, the Gaonim, the Mordechai in Perikis Adam quotes a tshuva from the Gaonim that you can use snow to perform the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. Why? You can't plant anything in snow. The snow is going to melt, it's going to turn into water. It's not Zoran Boy Matzmiach. It must be based on the other idea that it's in Tanakh, it's referred to as offer. Where in the world is there a pasuk in Tanakh that snow is referred to as offer? So that's what they quote. There is a pasuk in Iyov that the Gemara toys with. This pasuk in the Pirkei de Reb Lezer talks about this pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki lashela gyoyma heve eretz. The Rebbeinu Shalom, when he created the world, commanded to the snow. The Pirkei de Reb Lezer says that this is snow from Tachas Kisei HaKovod. I don't know what that means. It's not the snow that we have, Boilem Hazeh, some other kind of snow. Ki lashela gyoyma HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed that snow from Tachas Kisei HaKovod, heve eretz, become earth. So since the Rebbeinu Shalom took the snow and he made it into offer, he made it into earth, so therefore it's dina kofar. So the Mordechai says that this is a shigigas hayroah. We don't accept this opinion. So it's a shita yechidah in the goyim that you can fulfill a mitzvah of kisei adam with snow, but most of the rishonim rejected and they say we should not follow that opinion. The main discussion about snow is the Mishnais Mikvoes. Mr. Mendel Gottesman, all of Hashem gave, was one of the big supporters of yeshiva, and he gave the library. And I remember for years and years, his sons always came to the yeshiva. His yard site was Ches Tevis, which never falls out on the Shabbos. So every single year for years, 30, 40 years that I remember, his children would come to the yeshiva, and we would always learn Mishnayis Perek Zion in Mikvoas, that the four Mishnayis in a row, but Oisius Nesham, Nun Shin Mem Hei. It's always about Mayim Shuvim. And his children were not learned people. They were religious Balabatim. So they couldn't understand why every year, why do we keep on learning this? He must have been a Hungarian. This is apparently a Hungarian meaning. So he didn't understand why every year they learn the same thing about the Mishnayis Mikvahs, about Mayim Shuvim. And they always used to have a Suda. After we finished learning with Avi Mincha, they said Kaddish, and then they would invite all the boys from the Kol. The Kol used to only be 25, 35 boys. So everybody came to eat in the cafeteria, and Gansu Sudila covered his yard. And it never happened on a Shabbos. Every single year we were always there in the yeshiva, and everybody in the Kol had to participate. So in the Mishnayos, in Perek Zayin and Mikvoyos, it talks about Mayim Shuvim. We know what the din of Mayim Shuvim is. That if the water was contained in a bucket, in a container, and you pour it into the mikvah, so it's no good. There's a machlokes rishonim, whether Mayim Shuvim is a psul derais, a psul derabbanan. The Mishnais talk about gimelugim mayim shuvim. If you pour gimelugim mayim shuvim into a mikveh before it's full, it doesn't yet have the memso. If you have memso already, so you can pour it in kol mei mishabayilam, and it doesn't pass on a mikveh. But if you don't yet have a mikveh that's full of memso, and you pour in gimelugim mayim shuvim, it passes. So that's only a din derabbanan. That din of you pouring in gimelugim before it's full, only pasals midrabbanan. But the question is, what if the whole mikveh consists of mayim shuvim? Maybe that's a psul deraisa. So this is a famous machlokes, a big tosis in Bava Basra. Machlokes the rei and the rabbi in the tam. Bottom line of Shulchan Aruch, the machlokes the mechaba and the rama. Mechaba paskin is that a mikveh mayim shuvim is only the rabbanan, it's never a din deraisa. And the rama paskin is like the other opinion in tosis that rubo shov, a kulo shov. If you have 21 lugim of mayim shuvim and 19 lugim of mayim ksherim, so that'll be a psul deraisa. That'll pasul a mikveh min hatam. So the Mishnayos have that this din of Maim Shuvim, whether it's the Reis or the Rabban or whatever, the din of Maim Shuvim only applies if it was in the form of water when it was carried in the bucket, when it was carried in the container. What if you have ice or you have snow, and I'm carrying the snow in a container, in a bucket, so that's not considered Maim Shuvim. So the Mishnah says if you have Gimel Lugim of water, Gimelugim of snow, Gimelugim of ice that was carried in a bucket, and then you throw into the mikveh, and the mikveh doesn't have emsor yet, it doesn't passel the mikveh. So the Mishnah first starts off, Benigeta, that's clearly a din derabbanan. Gimelugim mamshuvim that falls into a mikveh chasera that doesn't yet have emsor, that it passels the whole mikveh, you have to empty everything out till you no longer have Gimelugim, and then you fill it up again, that's for sure only a din derabbanan. So it says, Beferish, Benigeta, that din derabbanan, that snow that's contained in a bucket doesn't become Maim Shuvim, it's only Shuvim if it's in the liquid form. What if the whole mikveh is made from, the whole mikveh is made metchilo? The whole mikveh consists of kulo shov. The whole mikveh is kulo shov, but it's made from ice or snow that was carried in a bucket. So that's a machlokes in the Mishnah. There are two versions of what the Tana Rabbi Shmuel said. How do we paskin? So that's a machlokes in the Rishonim. How to paskin? So the poskim say, based on the Ravid and the Balei HaNefesh, that it's not right to be lechatchila. It's not right to be mekel to make a whole mikveh. Let's say I construct a mikveh and I don't have a drop of water. So I'm going to take ice. I'm going to buy ice and carry the ice in buckets and throw the ice into the mikveh. So the entire mikveh, the entire memsor, is going to consist of ice that are carried in buckets. The whole thing, not just gimelum. So lechatchila, we don't do that. If you have a big shas hatrak, you have no breira, so then we're mekel. I remember Rabbi Breuer had a son who was in France, Mark Breuer. He was in France during the war, and then Rabbi Breuer was already an American. He didn't know whether his son was alive or dead in the middle of the war. And it was, I think, Erev Yom Kippur that one of the American... one of the people in the American army met Mark Breuer in France, and he gave word to America. He said he should give a message to his father, Rabbi Breuer, that he's alive. He was Mali Simcha. He heard on Erev Yom Kippur that his son was still alive. So then after the war, he stayed there. He got married. He stayed there for a while. So he needed a mikveh. After he got married, he needed a mikveh. So they were able to construct a mikveh. But then how are they going to collect water? So it was a big shas hatchak. So he was already corresponding with his father. The war was over. So the father said, if you have such a big shas hatchak, that's how the poskim say, carry snow in the kelim, and there's no din of mayim shuvim. So he says, we carried so much snow like the Himalayas. And then when it melted, it was 5 drops. He says, to get mem so mayim shuvim from snow, you have to have tons and tons of snow. It doesn't help that it's such a big volume. It has to melt to be memstor. It says it's very hard. Ice is a different story. When the ice is going to melt, it's going to be whatever it is. But the snow is going to be gefelach. So there is a din. If you have gimelugim mayim shuvim, it passes the whole mikveh. If it's mikveh chasera, unless you did hamshocha. Hamshocha means if I have a bucket of water and I pour it on the ground, on top of earth, or on top of concrete, I pour it and it rolls for gimel tfochim. So that's called hamshocha. So there is a machlokes hatanoim in a Mishnah. It should have been a Mishnah is mikvos, but I don't think it appears in mikvos. It's a Mishnah in Tmura. So there's a machlokes hatanoim in a Mishnah in Tmura. What's the din of shuvashim shichua kula? The whole mikveh consists of mayim shuvim where I did hamshocha. Maybe the kula of hamshach is only acceptable, but again, to that din derabbanan, the gimelugim mayim shuvim pasul the whole mikveh. But maybe kula shov is more chomer. Maybe because kula shov is deraisa, even if it's only derabbanan, but it's still more chomer than gimelugim mayim shuvim. that maybe shuvishim shuchul kula is not acceptable. So that's a machlokes hatanoim, and a machlokes harishonim, a machlokes hagaonim, how to paskin. And that's one of the rare instances where the Rambam quotes a machlokes. Usually the Rambam writes in his introduction, he's not going to give you machlokes, he's going to give you one psak. And every so often, very rarely, the Rambam gives you a machlokes. This is one of the few cases where the Rambam says this is a machlokes hagoinim, where the shuvishim shuchul kula, where the hamshacha helps. If the whole mikveh consists of maim shuvim, where I did hamshacha. So just like it's a machlokes by hamshacha and kuloi, so it's a machlokes hatanoim, if you have the whole mikveh consists of snow or ice that was carried in a bucket, and the Mishnah says there's no din of shuvim if you carried it when it was in the solid state, the din of shuvim only applies if you carried it when it's in a liquid state. Is that kula only applicable to the gimel lugim, or does it even apply if the whole mikveh was made from snow and ice that was shov? So lechatchila we machmar on that. If you have a big shas atchak, you have no brera. So many times you make a lot on that. So here there's a machloikas harishonim, a major machloikas harishonim, how to read the Mishnah. Let's say I carried the snow in a bucket and then I dumped the snow into a pit. And now I'm going to be toivel in the snow. That's what it means. The person's going to be toivel in the mikveh, which is snow. Or means no, he carried the snow in a bucket. So we're pilpuling, we're discussing the tanaim, have the different opinions, whether it has a psula maim shuvim, where we're makel, mishas atak we're makel, even if the whole mikveh consists of, the whole thing is based on shuvim that was carried in a bucket, but in a solid form. But yet, it's not a psul of Shubat, yet you can't be toivel in snow, you have to wait till it melts. So that's a major machlekes harishonim. And a shulchan aruch, it's a machlekes in mechaber and ramah, in Yeridea. So the mechaber paskins, you can be toivel in snow. And the ramah paskins, like the other rishonim. The Mordechai quotes the Rabbeinu Simcha, the Beis Yosef, in Simen Reish Aleph, in Yeridea, quotes the Mordechai, in Shavuos, all the dinim amikvois appear in the Mordechai, Masech HaShavuos, the Rif, has all the Hilchas Nida, Masech HaShavuos. So the Mordechai quotes one of the Baalei HaTosfos, Rabbeinu Simcha, who says two reasons why you cannot be toivel in snow. When the Mishnais talk about snow, it means you carry the snow in a bucket, it doesn't become shuvim, but you have to wait till it melts. So the Rabbeinu Simcha gives two reasons. One reason is, he says, when you're toivel in a mikveh, you have to come in contact with all the memsor. So here the snow, there's going to be a build, let's say, imagine this is a whole mikveh full of snow. I'm just going to be toivel over here in the middle. I'm not going to come in contact with all the snow on the side. I'm only going to come in contact with the snow that's touching my body. That's one explanation that he gives. Then he has another reason why it's no good. Because the Gemara says, let's say there's a big wave from the ocean that flies up in the air. And then I have, let's say, a kli that's tummy. And I want to be toivel the kli. So I'll hold it up in the air. I know that a big wave is going to fly. So that's called kippin. Kippin are... Kippin means a kippa is an archway. It's a semicircle of an archway. It's called a kippa. So the Gemara says, Ain toivel in the kippin. The Gemara Chagig, you can't be toivel when the water is in the air. You have to be toivel when the water is agabi karka. So the Gemara says, let's say there's a big wave flying in from the ocean onto the dry land. And when it lands on the ground and it's rolling, so that's not a problem of zoichlin. Usually a mikveh has to be covered with kaim, has to be standing still. But if it's ocean water, then it's good even though it's rolling, but it has to be rolling on the ground. But you can't be toivel in a kippah. So if I put the kli on the ground and then the wave from the ocean is going to land on the ground and roll over the kli, it'll be a good tefillah b'mikveh. But if I hold the kli in the air, so that's a gemara's lashon, ain't tefillah b'toivel in b'kippah. So the... Mordechai in Hilchas Mikvois quotes Rabbeinu Simcha that you cannot be toivel in snow because ain't toivel in mikipin. So the Beis Yosef says he doesn't understand both explanations that the Rabbeinu Simcha said. He doesn't understand what has it got to do with mikipin. But the snow is all sitting on the ground. Everything is sitting on, nothing is flying in the air. So why does Rabbeinu Simcha think that it's kippin? And he doesn't understand the other argument that he said. I'm toivel in the mikveh of snow over here, so I'm not touching the snow over there, and the snow over there, the Rabbeinu Simcha used the lotion, when you're toivel in the mikvah, memsor, your body has to come in contact with the whole memsor. So he said, that's not true. When you're toivel in the mikvah of water, your body doesn't come in contact with all the water. You come in contact with the water. That's adjacent to your body. You're not touching all the other water. So Beis Yosef paskins against this Rabbeinu Simcha. He paskins that you can be toivel in a mikvah that's full of snow, even before a melt. So he says, not what he's talking about. And there are more paskins like the Rabbeinu Simcha. So there's a famous explanation that the Marcheshes has. Marcheshes was killed by the Nazis. He was older than, he was a dying in Vilna, same time as Reb Chaim Eisen. He was there before and he outlived. He delivered a hesped when Reb Chaim Eisen died. So the Marcheshes learned by the Beis Halevi. He writes, he has the old school, before Kodem Matan Torah, before Reb Chaim came in, he revolutionized all of learning. But a lot of his tshuvas, officially it's a Shalos HaTshuvas, two volumes of Marcheshes, a lot of his tshuvas are the new style of learning. But he writes in his Hakdama, he's from the old style of learning, he doesn't go for this chemistry, this chemical analysis and breaking everything down to its component parts. But over here, he gives a pshat in this Rabbeinu Simcha that's famous. He says, the Gemara in Nida, Daf Yud Zayin, quoted that Tosefta, that says the shelag zena lo ke oichal velo ke mashke, unless chishav olav dina ke mashke, then it's mekabel tuma like a mashke. And then the Tosefta also says that the shelag, if an adam tummy touches a snowflake, only that snowflake that he touched becomes tummy. If you have let's say a container of water, and let's say I have an Italian bread that it's not sliced, and I touch one end of the bread, so the din is maga b'miktosa k'maga b'kula, because it's considered one unit of a meichel. If I have a container full of water and an adam tummy touches the water over here, so it's one unit of water, maga b'miktosa k'maga b'kula. But the Gemara quotes at Tosefta, Nida Daf Yud Zayin, if I touch, there's a body of snow in a container, let's say, and I touch one snowflake, that one snowflake becomes tummy. The rest does not become tummy because it's eino chibur. The quartz shell, shelig, the tiny flakes of snow are not considered one big unit. So that's what the Marcheshes says. The two arguments of the Rabbeinu Simcha were exactly identical. He says, when you're toivel in the mikvah of memsoa, even though all the memsoa are not touching your body, but the water that does touch your body is mechuber with all the rest of the water. All the mayim is mechuber. It's one big chibur. So therefore it's considered as if you were teifel in the entire memsoa. And the water on top, let's say the mikveh is 5 feet tall. Mikveh, let's say, for argument's sake, is 4 feet deep. So I'm standing over here. Even the water at the height of 4 feet is also considered sitting on the karka because it's all one big chibur. Hashem came snow, the Brisa said, the Tosefta that's quoted in Nida said that snow is not a chibur. It's only the snow that's on the ground is considered on the ground. The snow that's up 4 feet tall is like tefillah b'kippin. It can't be tefillah b'kippin because it's not sitting on Gabi Karka. The two arguments that the Rabbeinu Simcha gave, that the Pesiosi writes, he doesn't understand either argument, and that's why he rejects this Rabbeinu Simcha. So the Marcheshe says that both arguments are based on that Gemara, based on the Tosefta that the Gemara quoted. The Bashelig, there is no chibur. The Achrayim raised an objection. If the Tosefta said that shel again aloy koyach aloy kamashke, and the Chumash says bracha says kol b'sara b'mayim, tefillah has to be b'mayim. You can't be toivel and make peiris. You can't be toivel and shamashke. Tefillah has to be dafkim b'mayim. So kol zman shel achishav olav is not dino kamashke. So how can there be an opinion in the Rishonim? The Ramah says you can't be toivel in snow. So how can there be an opinion? How can the Mechaber Paschal like the other opinion that you can be toivel in snow? But you have to be toivel b'mayim. If it's ein dino kamashka, so it's not considered mayim. So how was the Shach to say that it's, how can you even imagine that it should be good for a mikvah? So the Achreinim, the Galatiana Achreinim say, if you have in mind that you want this to serve as a mikvah, so implicit in that is that it's chishav alav kemashke, because in order that it should serve as a mikveh, it has to be mayim. So if you want it to serve as a mikveh, it means that you want it to serve as mayim. So Rav Zevin has a whole essay about this in a different place, which he refers to in this essay. He quotes, there's a Mishnah in Orla that the Chumash says, Kisavoy al haaretz and etaitem kol eitz meichal ba'araltam arlasim, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you plant you plant a tree that's going to give off fruits that are edible. Let's say I planted a tree, but I'm not interested in eating the fruits. I just planted the tree to serve as a border, a separation between my field and the next neighbor's field. I don't want his children running on my property. So I just use a tree l'siog. Or I planted a tree l'koyrus. I want to use the logs, but I'm not really interested in the pears that grow. So then it's not an entitlement called as much, so there's no din of orlo. So it's usually assumed, there's a Yerushalmi that says that if you plant an esrog tree intending to use the esrogim lemitzvah, the people who sell esrogim never use it l'achila. Who's going to pay $60? Who's going to pay $200 for a little lemon? Meshugadatnazak. They only use the esrogim for the mitzvah. So the Yerushalmi says, Hanateya, if one plants an esrog tree, l'shem mitzvah, the din of barla applies. If any esrogim will grow, the first, if nothing grows, nothing grows. But if something grows the first 3 years, it's going to have a din of orla. So the achreidim amoyer this kasha, but he didn't plant it l'achila. So why is the din of orla applicable? The chumash says, tisvatatim kolayz michael. And the mishnah says, only if you planted amanas to eat the pears. So Rav Zevin suggests that this is the same teretz. He quotes some achreidim say the same teretz. Since the halacha says that an esrog has to be pre-eitz hadar, has to be roi l'achila, and if it's not roi l'achila, then it's not acceptable as an esrog, it has to be a peri. So if you planted the tree al manas to use it for the mitzvah, that means by definition, implicit in your kavana, l'shem mitzvah, is that it has the status of a pri. So the mele, the din of orla is noy. And he gives a similar mishalim, and he gave to other dinim as well. The Gemara says that when you put the schacha, let's say Anochri made a little hut, Anochri, or the children are playing, so they made a little hut, and they put on a roof, and it happens to be that the roof that they put on is kosher l'schach. So is that acceptable or not? So the Braisa says in Masech HaSukah and Daf Ches on the base, that if they put it up l'shem, doesn't have a machlokes b'sham and b'silo, whether the schach has to be put up l'shem mitzvah or not, so we pass like b'silo. That sukkah's gambach v'rakfash is also good, doesn't have to be put up l'shem sukkah, but it has to be put up l'shem tzel. You don't need l'shem sukkah, it has to be l'shem tzel. So Rav Zevin raises a question. A lot of times people build a sukkah l'shem mitzvah, they're not thinking l'shem tzel. So we can passel half of the sukkahs. People just have in mind, this is the sukkah for yantav. They're not thinking about the fact that it's going to give shade. They know you got to sit under the schach. So he says, they don't have, he answers, you don't have to think l'shem tzel. Once you're thinking l'shem mitzvah and implicit in the mitzvah, it's only kosher l'mitzvah so if it's l'shem tzel. So implicit in the kavanah l'shem mitzvah is that it's considered l'shem tzel, even though you didn't have that explicitly in mind. So l'maisa, aloha l'maisa, we follow the Ramah. Ashkenazim follow the Ramah. You can't be toivel in a mikveh of snow until it's going to melt. So what are you going to do if it's freezing? It's going to take forever, till springtime for the snow to melt. So the Chasam Sofer has a patent. He has an eitzah. So he says, you should fill up your mikveh with, Mark Breuer said, you fill it up with the Himalayas, as much snow as the whole Himalayas, it's going to be five drops of water, it's not going to help too much. But usually by ice, usually you carry ice in buckets, you put the ice in the mikveh, so the ice has to melt. So some Sefer says, you get a metal heater, and you put it on top, and the metal heater will cause everything to melt, and then it's going to be good for the mikveh. So this is an issue that some Gedolim taina that shouldn't be good. Rav David al-Karlina, the one who wrote the Piskei Halachas, Rav David Friedman, he's known as Rav David al-Karlina. He was supposed to be, I remember, Rav Chaim Oizer writes in one of his tshuvas, a whole tshuva about Shem that had to spell a certain name in a get, and then he writes, that's what he thinks the din is of Efrat. I heard that Rav David al-Karlina passes like that. So I remember once he asked Rabbi Gerelich, what does he quote Rav David al-Karlina for? Rav David al-Karlina is known for his pulpulim. He's not known as a Moir Hara. So he told me that he remembers when they were running away from the Nazis, Rav David, and Gerelich was with him at the time. So Rav David was in Vilna. So he walked with Rabbi Gerelich walked with Rav David to visit Rav Chaim Oizer on Yom Tov, on Pesach. And then he waited outside for an hour or so till Rav Avla came out, and then he walked him back home. Rav Avla came out, and he was crying, and he kept on spitting into his handkerchief. So he asked him, what's he crying about? So he said that they realized, he was talking to Rav Chaim Oizer, and they realized that they killed out all the Gedolei HaTorah, and they were both sobbing about all the whole Churban HaTorah. And he said Rav Chaim Oizer was recalling, he was reminiscing about all of the Gedolim that he knew, and the most glorious of all the Goeni Hador that he knew was Rav David al-Karlina. He adored him. He looked up to him as the greatest Goyen of all generations. And then he asked him, what is he spitting about? What did he keep on spitting into his handkerchief? So Rav Velvula had this nervousness, all of his chumras. So he said when they came to Vilna, they didn't use granulated sugar. They used to use shtiklach zucker, cubes of sugar. So they used to have big cubes and they would break it in half. So in Brisk, they would break the cubes in half and sparks would not fly. And here in Vilna, when they bought the shtiklach zucker before Pesach, sparks would fly. So he assumed that they must have mixed in some ingredient, and he decided there must be kidneys, and you're not allowed to use the shtiklach zucker on Pesach. They must have certainly mixed in some kidneys. So they weren't going to use on Pesach. So he made up, Rav Velvula made up with his children. His wife was killed by the Nazis, and some of the children were killed, some of the children were lost. So he made up with his children who were surviving with him that they're only going to use the sugar. They bought a lot of cubes of sugar and they cooked it in a big pot of water, so that even if you have kidneys, it should be bottled to shishim. The din is a kidneys bottled beripe. You don't need shishim. But the chatzili shouldn't use it. So he thought if he'll cook it in water, it'll be bottled to shishim sign, so then he can use the kidneys also. So he came to Rav Chaim Moshe. Chaim Moshe gave him, was mechabed him with a cup of tea, and he pushed. And there was a plate that had the cubes of sugar on it, so he pushed it towards Rav Velvula that he should take. So Rav Velvula said, I'm going to prava chumra in front of Rav Chaim Moshe. So he pushed the cubes of sugar, so I used the cube of sugar. But the minute he walked out of the door, he kept on spitting out from his mouth all the sugar, because he thought for sure it must have kidneys. He's always machmad everything. Sure. So Rav Velvula Karlina was a great goyin. Even though there's a big mefalpa, I remember once Rav Mendel Zaks was talking about something that Rav Dovid Karlina said. So he writes about the Shagas Aryeh, that Ein Darkei La'ayin B'Achrayim. He doesn't look in Achrayim. He says there's no Shagas Aryeh in the whole city. The whole city Karlin. There is no Shagas Aryeh. He never looks in Achrayim. So I remember Rav Mendel Zaks says that the Minig Olam is, we follow Rav Dovid Karlina. He says he doesn't look in Achrayim, so the Minig is we don't look in his sword. He's from the Achrayim, and he says his policy not to look, so we don't look in his form. In yeshivas, they usually look at Rav Dovid Karlina for Pilpulim. He wrote Piskei Halachos Al Seder Haram and Hilchasishus. So yeah, it's fantastic Pilpulim. But Psalocha Lamai says usually we disregard what he says. See, here also, he chapters this Chasam Seif. He says that if you're going to take a heater, like whenever the freezer is overfrozen, so my wife has an electric heater that you plug in and you defrost everything until you get all of the ice out, and then you start all over again for a couple of months till the whole thing freezes over again. So the Chasam Sofer says you got to take such a metal element and have it melt all of the ice and all of the snow in the mikveh. So Rav Dovid Karlina wrote a whole tshuva, and he writes in the tshuva to the Roman Kiev, who made a mikveh like this. He writes, I only write shuvas after I'm avar the whole inyan from A to Z. And he said that it's no good. This mikveh is no good. That's a psul of haviyosei, I deidover hamakabal tumen. The pasuk says, ach mayna bar mikveh mayim yihiyeh tohor. Yihiyeh tohor, so the gemara in Zvachim, Dab Chafei, has a drasha, that his sabas hamikveh cannot be I dey odom. Odom is a dov hamakabal tumen, I dey kelim, I dey odom. So if you put a metal element there that should cause it, the snow and the ice to melt, so you created, the human being created the mikvah's kosher to be toveled in, because in the state of snow it's no good, in the state of liquid it is good. So he tainted that it's not acceptable. But the minhag olam is that everybody relies on this Chasam Sofer. Pischei Tshuva quotes it. And it's not considered haviyasa. Haviyasa, the dover hamakabal tumen, means if the person pushes it into the mikvah. But over here, when he put it into the mikveh, was in a solid state. And then he melted it. So that's not considered a psula of haviyasa yedidav hamakabal tumen. We usually assume that tefilas kelim is a mitzvah min haTorah, unless it's klei zchuchis. Most overwhelming majority of the poskim say when you buy klei zchuchis, so the requirement, let's say glasses, drinking glasses. When you buy pots and pans, forks and knives that are metal, so then there's an obligation and I to do tefillah kelim before you use it for food. But for schuchis, it's only with the rabbanon. So some of the achrenim say, and since tefillah kelim like schuchis is only the rabbanon, so you can, maybe there's room, even the Ramah says you can't be toivel in snow, like the Rabbeinu Simcha, maybe since Tfilas Kelim and Klei Schuch is on with the Rabbanan, so maybe it can be Michael. So it means if you have the Himalayas, you gotta have Memsua of water. You have to have Memsua, so much snow, that if it'll melt, it'll be Memsua of water. So if you think you have so much, then you can be Tevel Kelim. It's very hard. They just say it's very hard to be Tevel a person or Kelim whenever you go into the snow. So you make a whole empty space around you. So you're not really, when you go into a mikvah of water, so the water is touching the surface of the body. When you go into snow, so the part of the snow touching the body is probably not going to be touching, it's going to be probably half an inch in between me and the snow. So the whole thing is shver. So some are maker like that. The tfilas klei schuch is on the rabbanon, so the Darki Tshuva quotes like that. Remember, Abaron Soloveitchik is to say like that. You can be making on tefillas klei schuches to be tovel and snow. What about when the tilus yadayim for bread? That's for sure only the rabbanon. The feirish kulas and the tilus yadayim. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that snow. The Mechaber writes that snow is not good. The Mechaber writes that snow is good for a mikveh, and he says snow is no good for the tilus yadayim. How you talking? So the Mogen Avraham says no. He says there are two different kinds of the tilus yadayim. If you have a mikveh that consists of mem saw of snow and you dip your hands in, the mechaber will certainly say it's good. Mechaber holds a person whose tummy can be tovel in a mikveh of snow that has mem saw. So you can certainly do tefillas yadayim in a mikveh that has mem saw of snow. When the mechaber says you can't use snow for the tilus, that means if you have a container full of snow, you're pouring it on your hands. So there the halacha says you need netilus yadayim with mayim. So that's not considered mayim. For a mikveh, there's what to discuss. But for the tilus yadayim purposes, even the mechaber would agree that snow is not acceptable if you're going to be pouring it from a cup.
Yeah, you mentioned the circle before. What would the din be of the surface covering the snow that must happen about
8,000? Right. I think the Behetev quotes Achrayim will say that is okay. If you have schach. If you have another cover on top of the schach, so then it's not acceptable. But if you have snow on top, that's not considered another cover. The Behetav is Mekel and Hilchas Sukkah, he talks about it. It's probably based on the Gemara Bava Basra and Daf Chof and Aleph, where the Gemara has the first two Prokem Bava Basra not so entertaining. But that Daf Chof is very important. That's the din of Rokke Kenim and Mayit Machalom. So the Gemara quotes a brisa there that the following things are not Mevim and not Chotzitzim. Let's say I'm over here and the mace is over there, and there's one roof that goes over me and over the mace. That's called Oil Hamshocha. So the Tumah will transfer from the mace to me based on the fact that there's one oil on top of both of us. What if the oil on top is snow or ice? So the Brisa says it's not maybe a Satumah. That's not considered an Ohel because it's not going to last too long. And nor is it Chotzitz B'fnei Atumah. Let's say there's a mace downstairs, and then there's a slab of ice separating between, there is no roof, there's a slab of ice or a lot of snow, a whole layer of snow separating between one floor and the other floor. Echvei says someone is downstairs, and then a kazayis mace is upstairs, and you have this floor that consists of ice or snow. So the Brisa and Baba Basra says that snow and ice is not maybe a satum, and not chotzit b'fnei atumah, does not have the status of an ohel. I remember a couple of years ago, the Erev right near the yeshiva had, right near the lawn, there used to be a lawn in front of the dormitory. Now there's no longer any lawn, I think. Oh, there is a lawn, I'm not sure. So they had the poles holding the strings were only 50 inches tall. They were very short. So there was a lot of snow. And then when they plowed all the snow, so they pushed all the snow next to the pole, so the ground level just, let's say this is the air of pole. So it has to be 10 tefachim tall, 10 tefachim above the ground level. But if they push all the snow next to the pole, in order that people should be able to walk over here, so then on top of the snow is considered the ground level. So it depends. If you would walk on top of the snow, it would all go down, so then the ground level is on the ground. So it didn't. But they piled up so much snow that if you'd walk over here, you'd be walking 20 inches above the ground. So that becomes the ground level. So the pole is no longer 10 tefachim above the ground level. So the Paskim and Shulchan Aruch discussed this. This happened every winter, and they say it's a garnish, because the snow is going to melt, and it's not a problem. It's only that's not considered. Just like it says in Bava Basra, the Brayer said Avchov, that the snow is not maybe it's Atum, it's not Choytzis Bifnei Atum. So to over here, that's not considered a new ground level. Or Hashulchan says though that it depends where you live. If you live in a, he lived in a place, I don't know exactly which community he wrote the Or HaShulchan, and he was in different communities. He says sometimes the snow and the ice are there for 5 months solid. It's not going to melt. The weather is not going to, it's not going to change tomorrow. It's going to be all winter long, it's going to be like that. Well, there are some places I know where I go in the summertime in Tannersville, so the lake ice is over. So people can drive tractors on top of the lake in the middle of the winter, and it's not gonna, the tractor is not gonna fall through. The thing is such solid ice for a couple of months, for the whole winter. So then Or HaShulchan says if the snow is so hard and it's next to the pole, then taka, the ground level is higher, and you have to have the Erev pole has to be 10 tefachim above that new ground level. Someone asked me a shaila today about Hilchas Snow. He lives in New Jersey, so he tells me that it's not so easy to get a parking spot, and especially if they plowed the snow, so there's snow all over the place. And he wants to know when he takes his car out, is it okay if he puts his chairs there in front of his house so no one else will be able to park their car? I thought that that's not allowed. But when you take your car out, so you have to leave it open, kol ha-kodim zocha, so whoever comes next should have the right to use the parking spot. What time is Myrav now? 9:30? Okay. I want to talk about feminism and Zionism in the Parsha, but we'll have to discuss it some other time. No. Okay. A good kiddush to everybody.